A Bronze Sword and Its Story. The new buds appeared in the spring, but the storm brought down a number of trees last night. Scientists said that many factors brought about changes in the weather, but they could not bring forward the exact reasons. Constant stress had made our nerves brittle, and the poor ant fell into a coma. Difficulties could bring out a person's best qualities. Her daughter Jenny was a brisk girl. She brought her to life by artificial respiration. Our brows went up in surprise, and Jenny's composedness brought forth a positive effect. We calmed down, and then we cleaned the room with a broom, a mop, and a bucket. Suddenly, I noticed there was a bronze sword on the wall. Jenny said she had been to Britain, and it was a gift from a British friend. She took out a travel brochure and continued. Last year, I budgeted for all my expenses in the year, and I decided to travel. Then I met Mr. Brown. Nazis were brutal during the World War II, and he was the only survivor of his family. He crossed a brook and avoided the chase. He saw bubbles rise from under the water. He would never forget that. Later, Mr. Brown got married and brought up two children. Because we communicated well, he gave his favorite sword to me.
Teddy and Sally. Teddy was the son of a butcher. They lived in an old building, and they often bought bulbs in bulk to save money. But poverty wouldn't stop Teddy's steps to college. Furthermore, his classmate Sally fell in love with him. She was more beautiful than a butterfly. She often gave him a bundle of new clothes. In return, she would receive a bunch of flowers. They built up love day by day. The girl's father was a businessman. He sold byproducts of crude oil. He had a temper as bad as a bull. The father disliked Teddy very much. First, he burned up all the pictures of Teddy that Sally had. Secondly, he threatened to kill Teddy with a bullet. Thirdly, he posted a bulletin on the board to expose Teddy's financial burden. And then, one day, he informed his secretary that he was going on business. But in fact, he followed Teddy. Teddy caught the number 111 trolley bus to the tourist bureau. The father took a bypass to the track. But the electric motor of his car was too powerful, and it burned out a fuse. He bumped into a tree, and the car crashed. But for the accident, he should have seen the two young people get on an airplane going abroad.
Career and health. There were three candidates for the presidential election campaign, and finally Mr. Knox won. Right away he called his wife up to inform her. Then he bought lots of candies for the children to celebrate the victory. At night they went to a cafeteria to taste their favorite cabbage. The next day Mr. Knox put the calendar on the shelf. There were many problems that called for solutions. He intended to build more libraries on the campuses. The ministers were called up to discuss this. The proposal called forth a good deal of hostile criticism in the cabinet. The project needed a number of cables. They calculated the cost, and at last the proposal was called off. Mr. Knox felt disappointed, and the worst was his doctor told him that he had gotten cancer in his liver. So he canceled all his appointments. He decided to call on a famous doctor who lived in Canada. His packages were delivered across the desert by camels. He crossed the lake in a canoe first, then took a ship to sail on the canal. It was strange to see a cannon on the ship. Usually Mr. Knox had his supper at the canteen. While staying in the passenger cabin, he would miss his family very much.
Be a mother. When Mrs. Hayes was a child, her father, a capable carpenter, cared for her very well. He made a very beautiful carriage for her. He drew canvases for her, so Mrs. Hayes promised to give her own children a good childhood. Mr. Hayes used to be a cargo carrier. His early career was successful until he was chosen to explore outer space. The day they departed, Mr. Hayes said to his wife, "Take care of the children in case I don't come back." Mrs. Hayes answered, "You take care." The capsule had a capacity of 10 persons, but 15 people got in. It's ridiculous to carry out the plan. All of their lives were carried off. The moment Mrs. Hayes heard of the news, she wanted to take a poison capsule to kill herself. But finally, she didn't become the captive of death. One day, a thief stole her ID card and her credit card. The police had not captured the thief yet. From then on, whenever she went out, she brought a knife with her in case of need. In the day, she taught the children what's capitalism and what's carbon dioxide. At night, she would cook beef and carrots. After supper, she accompanied them to watch cartoons. Later, the government erected her husband's statue carved out of marble. Facing the statue, Mrs. Hayes said, "In no case am I to leave my children. In any case, it is my responsibility to bring them up. Though tired, I will carry on until they are grown up."
The Prince's Choice. It's a story about a prince. You can look for the book in the library catalog. A prince lived in a beautiful castle. His bedroom was a large room with a high ceiling. The floor had been cemented over. From the window, he could watch the cattle grazing. One day, he had a casual meeting with a pretty girl. Some robbers robbed of a cashier and flew away. The number of casualty was 5. The robbers had gone 10 miles before the police caught up with them. Soon they were locked in a cell of a cellar. When the prince arrived at the locale, he saw a girl looking after the wounded. In the prince's eyes, women could be divided into 2 categories, kind-hearted and evil-minded, so he could not help casting his eyes towards her. He walked up to her and found he was 15 centimeters taller than her. He asked, cautious in his choice of words, "Would you like to visit my castle?" The girl was surprised. "Would you mind repeating what you said? I didn't quite catch on." Gradually, their talk ceased, with long silence followed. From then on, the prince's every cell was eager to see her. In the end, they decided to get married after the census. It's a nice day. It's 20 centigrade that day. The wedding ceremony was held in a Catholic cathedral. The pastor showed the marriage certificate to all of the guests. A new cassette recorder recorded their love swear.
Cheat and Forgiveness in Love. Having read The Great Charter Movement, I finished chapter 8 of another novel. The characters in the book were impressive. They showed their characteristic features in their own ways. The hero, Andrew, was tolerant in character. He might be characterized as a man of mercy. Andrew was in charge of a company. He met a woman by chance at a party. Her charm of manner made her popular. No other woman dared to challenge her beauty. It was said that she was a city beauty champion. Andrew wanted to chase her. He decided to take a chance. He cheered up at the thought of seeing her again. The next day, after checking up on the weather chart, Andrew chartered a ship to her city. The ship followed the channel into the port. He remained cheerful throughout the trip. Once he stepped on the bank, Andrew checked in at a hotel. It was surprising that the pretty woman welcomed him so much. Andrew hoped he could stay longer, but he had to check out before next Monday. The last morning, when Andrew woke up, he found his room was in chaos and the woman was gone. The TV channel was broadcasting a boring talk show. A police officer that took charge of the larceny interviewed Andrew in his chamber. He told him that the woman had cheated his possessions, but Andrew forgave her completely with charity. He just wanted her back.
A Chemist's Favorite. There was a chill in the air that morning. We chopped the block of wood into pieces and threw them into the fireplace. The chimney poured smoke into the air. After the lamb chops dinner, we made the circuit of the old city walls. The circular tour took us 3 hours. The circumference of the city was almost 10 miles, and we found a story on the wall, chiefly about a chemist. He had a childish chin. He liked to play chess, and he cherished a set of ancient china. But his favorite thing was to do chemical experiments. His last task was to make cheeses, cherry flavor and chestnut flavor. After several days' hard work, the chemist decided to have a taste. He chewed some chips of cheese. Having given a few chokes, he got his breath. It tasted wonderful. He was so happy that he lit up a cigar. The news circulated quickly. The paper praised him in chorus. A Christian chorus sang Christmas carols for him. The mayor invited him to have a lecture. Due to circumstances beyond control, the lecture was canceled. It's a pity.
Life in a town. This town had a temperate climate. On rainy days, most people would stay at home, listening to some classical music. When the weather cleared up, they would go out. Some youth even would climb the cliff. Some other young people would go to the circus. It had classic performances. The climax of the show was three cats using their sharp claws to draw pictures in the clay. Audiences clapped their hands in delight. But for Molly and Henry, the sister and brother, the pleasure was to study. School education helped to civilize the people. It's one of the civil rights, and also the government cited the Bible to claim that civilization was necessary. This morning, after clearing away the kitchen, they went to school. They wore civilian clothes, like other students. The students in the school were classified by the subject they chose. Some students learned how to be a lawyer, how to face the clients, and how to make every clause of the contract clear. Some focused on grammar. They must understand all kinds of clauses. Molly and Henry were in the debate class. Clarity of thinking was of greatest importance in a debate. In the class, the two sides clarified their contentions loudly. They were so serious that the two sides fought with each other. In the clash, Molly's necklace fell off because the clasp had broken. Henry picked it up and held Molly's hand in a firm clasp. It's a funny day.
After collision. I coach people to drive. Last Sunday, I saw a tragedy. Two coaches collided with each other. A building collapsed. Many people clustered to see what happened. Five persons died during the collision. Coherent blood wet their clothes, and the wet clothes clung to their bodies. The police covered the dead with cloaks. A man volunteered to help them. His friendly behavior was a cloak for his evil intentions. A dead woman clutched her purse tightly, but he stole it. Few people noticed his coarse action. Then he wanted to escape from there, but tripped over a coil of rope. His clumsy movement attracted the police. According to the clue a witness supplied, he was arrested. At the same time, a coal ship was sailing along the coast clockwise. One of my colleagues happened to be on the ship. His free time never coincided with mine. We only use Morse code to keep in touch, so I was surprised to see him. What a coincidence. We two collaborated with the police to send the injured people to the nearest clinic. We worked around the clock. Everything was going smoothly with the collective effort. After we finished this, my colleague showed me his latest butterfly collection. It was clipped in a box. It's really beautiful.
Mr. Lincoln. The country used to be a British colony in Asia. Colonial people could win liberation only through struggle. They must combat the colonists until victory was theirs. The war commenced in March. Mr. Lincoln, the colonel elected by the people, commanded the soldiers to attack the capital. Columns made of stone were used to open the city gate. Mr. Lincoln led his soldiers. Come on! Let's drive them away home. The attack came off and the victory came out, but Mr. Lincoln was wounded by a bullet. He was unconscious, but might come to. With water splashed on his face, he soon came around. He was lucky to come through the war. A monument was built to commemorate the victory. After the war, Mr. Lincoln's wish to become an editor came true. He worked for a magazine at the current events column. The magazine came out once a month. For years, Mr. Lincoln kept coming up with new and good comments. His work was highly commended. He worked well, coming up to what his boss expected of him. The boss came around to encourage him to work harder. Coming to $6,000 a month, his earnings are the highest among his colleagues. But he couldn't always combine work with pleasure. There was not much comedy in the reality. For example, he wouldn't feel comfortable when a beggar came up to him for money. there were still many problems existing in the world.
Simple life, simple happiness. New York was a big commercial city. Many people commuted between home and offices every day. Mr. Dodge and Mrs. Dodge knew each other at a college committee. Both of them believed in communism and they communicated well. On that day, the topic was, if the Commonwealth should appoint a commission to find out why commodities cost so much, the chairman made a commonplace speech, which bored every common sense audience. So a girl's compact speech cheered them up. The chairman's speech was hardly comparable with hers. The audiences made a comparative vote of the two speeches, and the girl won. After graduation, Mr. Dodge became a salesman receiving commissions on all sales he made. The girl was an architect. She had secured two commissions to design buildings. Love was poetically compared to a flower. Mr. Dodge had considered her an ideal companion for himself. Having kept company with him for more than 2 years, she really loved him. Soon they got married and had two children. The boy liked to draw a circle with compasses, and the girl liked to swim in the swimming pool used in common. Sometimes the couple would work in the community welfare department for free. If they were busy, the children would be committed to the care of an aunt. This family never booked the first-class compartment of the train. They weren't rich, but were really happier by comparison.
Love competition. Everyone in competitive society faces keen competition, including love competition. In a city, there were many young men who competed for a beautiful woman, Nancy. The chasing team was composed of about 20 people. Nancy received many compliments on her beauty, but she only cared about Arthur and Ike. Arthur was an editor. It took him years of hard work to compile a good dictionary, and he would complete the task soon. Nancy enjoyed reading the dictionary. Ike was a strong competitor of Arthur. He was a handsome, but not compatible, piano player. He always complained that life was getting more complex and difficult. He had enough complication in his life. I would tell you the complicated processes soon. He played many of his compositions for Nancy, and she liked his music. As we know, most of the time, jealousy was a component of love, and one day it even compelled Ike to shoot at Arthur. The injured man was granted $20,000 in compensation. Ike couldn't be a competent lover forever. He was put into jail. A sentence could be an excellent complement to the story. That is, in every competition, everyone must comply with the law.
Joseph and his invention. I saw a film last night. The film compressed 10 years into 2 hours. Joseph was a chemist. We know a small baby has no concept of right and wrong. But Joseph wanted to invent a compound to help babies to have good comprehension. The conception of the plan occurred at a meeting of scientists. Joseph showed great interest concerning this plan. He was very seriously concerned with the problems involved. He concentrated all his attention on chemical research. No one can conceive of his hard work, but he concealed the research from his wife. So far as she was concerned, housework was more important. Everything went right except Joseph must stop his work because of compulsory military service. He computed his losses at 3 months, so he worked harder after he went back. 8 years had passed before Joseph succeeded. He wrote a concise summary of his invention. A committee that comprised men of different views was sent to test his invention. They concluded that the compound really did work. A director of a big company tried to persuade Joseph to make some concession to sell the invention. But Joseph had prepared to make no compromise. He'd like to give it to the public free. The newspaper made a comprehensive report of his deeds. A concert invited Joseph to make a speech. At the end of his speech, he said, "In conclusion, let me take the opportunity to thank all of you for your support." Thank you.
A strike. A friend congratulated me on my new book about my trip. Then he asked me many questions in connection with life abroad. I said I would tell him a confidential story on condition that he keep it secret. My words confused him but also confirmed his thinking. Last year, in the country I visited, the conjunction of the heavy rains and high winds caused flooding. At the same time, the conflict between the employers and workers led to the strike. The workers refused to conform to the unfair contract. They had been confined by the contract for many years. They condemned the employers for their bad conduct, and they had no confidence in the employers anymore. Confronted by the angry crowd, the police retreated. Congress conferred upon the strike, but had no idea. A killer hired by some employers killed the strike leader, a confident orchestra conductor. A bus conductor caught the criminal. The criminal was confined in a prison and soon he confessed his crime. The criminal was condemned to death. The Queen conferred knighthood on the bus conductor at the press conference. But 1 month later, the bus conductor was murdered too. He was found dead nearby a post made of concrete. I condensed the story to half its original length.
Protect the Earth. A party consisted of 10 conservatives. They were conscientious men. In consequence of their conscience, they worked constantly to raise people's consciousness on the conservation of natural resources. They said that the human being kept conquering nature, and in consequence, one day we would pay for the conquest at a considerable cost. It's conspicuous that forest was getting less and less. Consequently, every conscious person should give careful consideration to this problem. The ideas in their speeches were consistent. Analyzing their speech into its constituent parts, we knew that the strength of it consisted in the justice of it. Many people consented to support them, so their confidences were consolidated. The consensus of opinion at the latest meeting was that they would try to persuade the Congress to constitute some new constitutions. They were really considerate.
Stop drinking. There are 7 continents in the world. There's too great a consumption of alcohol in Europe. Mr. Keeble was an alcoholic. He said he cared for his health, but his actions contradicted his words. He constructed a wine cellar for himself, and he consumed a big container of alcohol a week. He was content with alcohol. His favorite was to enter drinking contests. On the contrary, Mrs. Keeble disliked alcohol very much. She still loved Mr. Keeble, but felt a touch of contempt. She contended that he should stop drinking, but he always contradicted her. They quarreled about this continually. One day, when Mrs. Keeble arrived home, she found her husband sleeping on the floor. The wine had contaminated his shirt. So she contacted his consultant at once to consult with him about this. The consultant was contemporary with the Keebles. In contrast with the Keebles, he was always calm. He watched and concluded that continuous drinking had made Mr. Keeble thoroughly weak. He suggested Mr. Keeble make a contract with him. Mr. Keeble read the contract and agreed with him. Later, Mr. Keeble took a new kind of medicine his consultant gave to him every day. After much difficulty, he contrived to stop drinking. Can you guess the contents of that contract from the context? It's about the new medicine. The new medicine proved an important contribution toward Mr. Keeble.
Win a court case. A suspect was convicted of robbery. It was said he robbed a copper watch. According to the convention, he had the right to appeal. A lawyer had interest in this controversial case. He was very famous. He never got out of control in any case, and he could always manage to convert defeat into victory. His corporation was formed in 1994. The lawyer corresponded with a suspect about his case. He tied a package with a cord, then sent it to the suspect. The suspect decided to cooperate with the lawyer. He was very cooperative. The core of the case was to find the proper evidences. As a famous lawyer, it was convenient for him to do that. everything was under control. On the day of trial, after the conventional greeting, the lawyer began his statements. His words conveyed his real feeling. No one could cope with him in debate. Whatever the accuser said, he could give corresponding refutation. Furthermore, he supplied some coordinate evidence. He had full conviction that he would win. He was right. In fact, he had convinced the jury of the suspect's innocence. We knew he won as he had thought. His friends gave him a cordial hug, and the correspondents reported the news of his success at once.
Money talks. A millionaire lived in a county of England. He had a costly cottage in the country. One day, he read a piece of news about space. He counted up how much a cosmic flight would cost. Then he was determined to have a cosmic flight at all costs. Few people could go into space, so he thought of his cousin who worked in the Aviation Council. He corrupted his cousin with money. His cousin was a coward corroded by money. His behavior was counter to his duty. He didn't know he accepted the money at the cost of his future. After his cousin left, the millionaire smiled at a cat crouching on the counter. Anytime, I can count on my money. A week later, two policemen came to visit the millionaire. They passed the corridor and stood in front of him. At that time, the millionaire was having dinner. He sat on his couch and tried to crack a crab. Seeing the policeman, he covered up his nervousness. Soon, he was brought to court for trial. His counsel counseled him to say nothing about the affair before they met. Trial, the millionaire showed his courtesy properly. As a defendant, his counterpart was the Aviation Council. Fortunately, by courtesy of it, he had not been put into jail. Instead, he was imposed a fine of $10,000.